All right, we have the thumbs up here ready to go. So good morning, everybody. Was anybody here for the Windows to Go session that was here earlier? So a few people, you guys will probably get really sick of me then by the time this session's over. So I apologize for that. My wife's the same way. She gets about an hour and 15 minutes of me and then she's done with me. So thanks very much for joining. We really appreciate it. Quick introductions. My name's Craig Ashley. I'm a senior product manager on the Windows commercial team from Redmond. I'll let Ronnie introduce himself here as well.
Yeah, I'm Ronald Dockery. So I'm from Redmond as well, but obviously not. I'm not American, I'm Irish. So it's great to be back in Europe and have the different accents and different fun. So yeah, so the session we're going to do today is called the Replaceable PC. It's a 200 level session. So we're kind of, the whole idea of this session is to kind of give you a flavor of all our products in terms of how you can replace your PC and the technology behind it, getting the user back. And we want to introduce you to other sessions then, so to whet your appetite to go to some of the deeper dives. So the level 200, we will demonstrate the technology, but it's to kind of set a high-level context for you.
Excellent. And really this came about last year about this time when we started really talking about Windows 8 and the capabilities that were moving forward. A lot of the great new M.2 pieces that we'll talk about that were coming forward. A lot of customers were saying in briefing center discussions and different discussions, hey, you know, it's great, I like that, but how can I get this same experience across multiple devices? How can I get my preferences, my settings, my data, how can I get that to move across, which is really that idea of the replaceable PC. A lot of users today have a whole bunch of devices that they're going across here. 3 to 4 devices, typically, some analysts say. Gartner's or IDC's or Forrester's have these out here. And let me, I'll back this one back up and start that one in just a second so we can see some of that. But just a quick question. If you think of the devices that you have, a PC, a desktop, how many people do typically within a work week work on, say, three or more devices in a given week? So if we look around, that's a huge number there. How about 4 or more? 5 or more? See out here with bright light, 6? Okay, a couple there, 7? I feel like we're doing an auction here. Yeah, so there's a lot that are out there in terms of what we're working on. Then that's really the impetus of what we're talking about. As IT professionals, you guys have a pretty good idea of how to set up new PCs and get your preferences and data, but you know, anybody else who are your end users, need us to help them with this and just make it work. So as we go through this, what we really see is a similar scenario to what we just highlighted here. Some primary users might have a desktop as their primary device. However, in a given day, they're going to move to a laptop as well if they're going mobile, or maybe to a laptop at home, or another personal device, or a tablet type of a device from that perspective. So we're roaming across a whole bunch of different scenarios here, and we want our data available to us. We want our preferences to sync between these machines so that we don't have to go through a whole process of updating every time. And we want our settings to roam between applications as well. It's nice to just log in and have it work. Or if my primary PC dies for some reason, I want the next one I log into to have the same capabilities and just be simple, straightforward, and have it work for us. So I know there's a bunch of different devices here, and I kind of kid Ronnie about this a little bit because he really loves his PC here. And so I don't know if you want to kind of show your beast here.
Yeah, well, this is my beast. I've had this since about 2008. It's a HP Pavilion, no offense to HP. So it's been great, right? But I got it with Vista. I used to work in the Irish sub, and they gave me this PC when I started. And I kind of nursed it all the way through, put on 7. And so I'm quite attached to this PC. So that's my PC here. But it kind of weighs a ton. And, you know, I'm looking to move, but I don't want all the hassle of if I'm going to move this device, like I'm going to lose my settings. What's going to happen? Am I going to have my applications? Is it going to be a pain? Am I going to lose a day, basically, doing this? So I've kind of been reticent to move. And I'm kind of emotionally connected to this as well, purely because it helps me work out in the weight and all the fun I've had with it, as you'd say.
Yeah, so what I did was I asked Ronnie to bring this along, and I said, you know, Ronnie, would you do a little experiment with us? So you agreed. Would you still like to do the experiment with us here?
What kind of experiment?
Just replaceable PC experiment.
Okay, that's
fine. I mean,
it's
simple, it's straightforward.
Yeah, no,
no harm to you.
Nothing,
we'll
that's
come
fine,
to you
that's
as
fine,
a result of this. So, could we have a volunteer, maybe from the audience, that would like to help us? You will need to come up here, so it'll involve some investment.
Somebody's very keen down the back there, yeah.
Okay, we have first-hand to shoot up here. So if you'd come on up here. We're going to do a little experiment here, and this is going to help us kind of step through and show you how the replaceable PC works here. So thank you.
And your name?
Thomas here is our helper. So what I'll do, we'll have you stand there for just a second, and we have some props.
It's kind of a scientific experiment you were mentioning.
Yeah,
so.
it's kind of scientific. So we want to be scientifically correct here. So if you could go ahead and put your lab coat on there. We'll put my lab coat on as well. All right.
And this is safety
glasses. So this is all we could really find on short notice here from a safety glass perspective. So we're ready to go. Good fit.
Yeah.
You look good. All right. Okay. So the other thing we'd like to do here is a couple things.
So what are you going to do with my?
Yeah, we'll take the. It's just an experiment.
Okay.
So what we're going to do? This is Ronnie's beautiful. Replaceable PC?
Yeah, I'm very attached to it now, so don't hurt it.
So we have our shirt here, and I'm going to wrap this shirt up for the case of the experiment. But let's go ahead and take this out here. So this is Ronnie's little baby that he's brought. I'm going to set it on the ground. It's the best place for something like this. And now, are you okay, Ronnie?
I'm a bit nervous. This it'll be okay, won't it? It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to ask you to go ahead and grab a hold of that. So we have the PC down here. Go ahead and give it a few really good whacks there.
Oh, jeez.
Oh. Maybe a couple more.
I think it could be fine.
Oh,
it could be fine.
Okay. That one looked like it went all the way through. All right. Well, so. Ooh, ouch. That's not good. Those are parts coming out here. So, yeah. Whoa. Okay. So.
So can I have you?
I'll go ahead and give
fixable,
that back
yeah?
to you here. And so. The general idea here is this is a pretty good experiment, and I'd like to like to thank Thomas. Holy cow.
So
we'll give
job.
You a Windows to Go drive here that you can take with you, and thank you very much for participating. It's important that we get this first piece out here. So
yeah.
How did it turn out?
Well, I don't know.
Thank you, Thomas.
I think we could fix it. I'm not sure. But, well, mind you, if I open it.
A little duct tape and super glue?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no.
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 Uh-oh.
No,
Here's some screen cracks.
It's in bits, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm very upset now because this is my laptop for years.
You won't cry?
I am getting upset.
Okay. So we started that there in terms of kind of kicking off. And again, really, I think that worked out well from my perspective.
Maybe not from maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But
so if something like that happens, right, probably not exactly that, but... At home, I always have issues with my children. I have three boys, 5, 9, and 12, and something will happen. Maybe they'll use it as a trampoline. Soda, water gets spilled on a lot of things. So something like that could absolutely happen to our PC here, mm-hmm. and that would be replaceable. That is hopefully not one of our three or four devices that we need to roam between on a daily basis.
So what would
here.
Be the most unusual destruction of a laptop that you've happened? Anybody want to volunteer some stories? Power surge blew it, yeah. And actually, did it go on fire or did it blow up? Poof. Okay, it's power surge. Anybody with water or fire or cars? Yeah? You set fire to what?
Day-old laptop set fire to. So. Ah, yeah,
okay.
So that's a tough one.
Your wife?
Oh,
he gave it to his wife. Okay.
Yeah. Upset there. Theft, all these things could happen, right, from this perspective. So those are some pretty good ones. We don't usually see something as violent as that type of an experiment here. But the end user response, and probably Ronnie's response, is what the hell just happened, right? That was kind of the look we saw on his face. But users are the same way. If something happens, they want to be able to replace that PC quickly and get up to speed. And they want to be ready to go. And it's our jobs as the IT team to be able to support that. Maybe not to demolish, but to be able to support getting these devices out and ready to go for the end user. And there are some technologies here we'll highlight throughout this presentation that will allow us to get better and to allow these types of situations as we move forward. We have these highlighted up on the screen. These are the demos that we'll have as we work through here and the things we'll speak about. As Ronnie mentioned, there are 300 level sessions on the majority of these things we'll talk about here today to go ahead and look through. Now, quite a few of these, if we think of user experience virtualization, AppV, are MDOP related. Does anybody know who has MDOP, Microsoft Desktop Optimization Pack, out there today? So those of us with the hands raised, if you're not already doing some of these things, you can go home and do this today because you have the rights to some of this. Some of the stuff like folder redirection, that doesn't require MDOP. Now, this is great because what this is going to do is this is going to allow our settings, our apps, and our data when provisioned to travel around with us. So if I light my laptop on fire, if my, who I used to think was my friend, has someone come up and whack it on stage, we'll be able to get all of these things back on there, on our primary PCs, as well as onto a secondary device, like a tablet form factor from that perspective. Now, if we think about these, the apps, AppV is a nice way to stream those down and to get those across our multiple devices. Folder redirection, high level, technology that allows us to sync. We have some offline capabilities, so if we don't have network for a while, we can. But then we can sync up to the folder redirection, backup data from that perspective. And UEV is great for syncing preferences and settings across the Windows operating system, but we can also generate settings profiles and setting templates, give locations for other apps as well, like Adobe, and those will sync between as well. So a lot of great stuff is happening through this that we can implement this. Integration with System Center is fantastic here as well. So UEV and AppV and the way those are integrated back from a deployment and manageability perspective is pretty tight here as well. SkyDrive Pro and SkyDrive work folders, we won't spend as much time on those today, but that's a great way for the data aspect of this as well. If you're not using folder redirection, having your data in the cloud available on the machines you log into is a great way to get your work data. SkyDrive itself is a nice place if I'm using these devices for my personal requirements as well to get my personal data or pictures or music synced to SkyDrive to access those across Windows, PCs, and tablets, as well as from my phone if I want to access those. So these are the overall pieces that we will kind of talk about here today as well. So the next piece then.
So I'm going to log into a PC for the first time.
Six,
is it? So this is the first time I would have logged into this this new Surface. It's quite light, much lighter
Other. Just to mention really quickly, this is the Surface. So you know, he had that great laptop. This is the Surface we're going to provide him, Microsoft Surface Pro, as the new replaceable PC to get that brick out of your hands.
Thank you very much. So I'm going to log in for the first time here. My username is Paul. It's not my name, but let's just pretend I'm Paul for the moment.
We have some people at work that are fond of calling you Roger as well.
Yeah.
Which is certainly not your name either.
No. There you go. So as you can see, I'm logging in for the first time into this PC. It's going to set up my profile. To be absolutely honest with you, you probably saw me outside. We had some issues last night. We were setting this demo up last night. A VM crashed. We had to rebuild the VM. And as a consequence, it blew away the profile. So I've been regenerating my profile outside. So I might seem a bit stressed, but we're working. We'll see how it goes. But I think we're pretty good. So the profile was off the domain. I had to reconnect. So we're good. So as you can see, I'm logging in for the first time.
Yep, replacement device, very first time, as a replacement for his PC. Now, what we're doing is those technologies we mentioned, right? The UEV, the folder redirection, the AppV, are the technologies that are behind the scenes that are going to help us to help Ronnie have this kind of his replaceable PC at this point.
Yeah.
As we asked a couple questions about MDOP. For those MDOP people, just a quick show of hands, anybody implemented user experience virtualization for your customers at this point? Or for your users at this point?
Well, I see one hand.
Okay, yep. One's better than none.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that product was, we launched that product about 8 months ago. It's a very simple product in terms of what it can do. It's basically allowing you to do internally in your own business what you would do with MSA in terms of SkyDrive Sync, right? So you can sync all your personal settings, you can sync all your application settings, your browser settings can all be synced with UEV. The key thing about UEV, and I'll show you in the demo in any case, it's so super simple to actually install. You're just creating a folder, and you're pointing users to that folder, and you're storing their settings there. It's extremely simple is the whole point, and in deploying an agent. If you have MDOP, you have it right now, so why don't you just go and do it? We did it last, I was actually at TechEd North America, and I was running the booth duty, and I was talking to one of the guys. He was Trek Bicycles, was the company. They have about 1,200 users. And he went to the sessions that we talked about. He went to the replaceable PC session, and then he went to the UEV session itself, and he said he was going to install it next week. So it's very simple is the whole point, and what it does is really, really powerful.
Okay. And thinking of the replaceable PC in general as we're kind of getting this to go through here, Windows to Go, we'll show that a little bit at the end here as well, but we could have our replaceable PC be our Windows to Go drive as well, because the pieces that we're going to talk about here today work just as well on that. So if we'd whacked Ronnie's PC, but he had a personal device, we could replace it with a Windows to Go drive that has these capabilities working on it as well. And I could provide that to him, and he could be booting into a Windows to Go drive as opposed to a new device at this point. But because we technically killed your device, we thought the Surface was probably the
Yeah, it'd be the nicest. Yeah, it's a bit lighter. Yeah, exactly.
Did anybody take advantage of the Surface deals that were going on, the RT or the Pro? Yeah. I'm a little jealous of all of you because we don't get to take advantage of that one. So, but very good to see that. We did this session in North America as well, and it was really great to see for the first time Surface tablets out there in everybody's hands to go as well there. So
we can start dancing if you like.
Yeah, I'm not a great You're Irish, so maybe you should take off with this one. So why don't we give this a sec? We'll switch back to the slides. Cover the technologies just
a bit, and then
switch back here to get us to go. We were doing just a smidge of tap dancing there. I guess flamenco dance here.
No, but I wouldn't be in the flamenco, no.
So talking just a little bit more about some of these technologies as we step through here. We highlighted these to begin with. This is what we'll show throughout the whole process here. But really, starting at the top, we separate into layers here in terms of providing this. And you can certainly use and pick and choose any of these for any of the capabilities. But to get the whole idea of that replaceable PC, right, we would step through all of these. So at the top there, again, UEV is for settings, the Windows OS settings, and preferences, and some settings for some applications. Now, there are some capabilities on UEV between Windows 7 and Windows 8 of some things to pull back and forth on the application side of that as well. It doesn't just have to be between Windows 8 devices here. The documents, that capability with folder redirection and offline files to get the data there. We also talked about SkyDrive Pro or SharePoint if you have implemented for the data pieces of this. And then the AppV piece. AppV has some great capabilities there. Kind of early on in the process, and Ronnie will highlight the history there as we get to the AppV section. Do you want to do that here?
I think we're nearly finished anyway, okay. But that's cool. AppV was a Softicity purchase in about 2006. So we've been in the AppV business for a long time, is the point. And from an MDOT perspective, it probably was the leading light all the way through, and it's been consistently the product that's been the most popular. But MBAM is very popular, UV, and the other products, Dart, et cetera, they're all addressing particular pain points for customers. What I was going to say about AppV, my first introduction to AppV was when I was working in the Irish sub. I was in the business marketing kind of side. But we had a major bank who essentially had a huge problem when they were developing apps, line of business apps for their users. They had about 6,000 or 8,000 users. The bank still exists, by the way, just about, you know, the story of the Irish economy. But anyway, it's getting better, okay? But anyway, that bank, they had a team of about 10 people, and their job was to manage all those apps that were being brought in by the different business units, and essentially people were going, we've developed this app, we want you to deploy it. And that was their job, right? But consistently what was happening was, as different apps came in, it was breaking stuff. So one app would trip up another app. And they looked really stressed, right? So we went in and we... Uh, we actually showed them technology, and we did a POC with them in the Irish sub. And as a consequence, they by deploying AppV, they were able to address that whole issue, took that whole pain point away, and it streamlined the whole process for them and probably extended their life as well, because I never met a group so stressed out. But anyway, so that's AppV. AppV has been on the go for a number of years. Just to point back to UEV, UEV we actually launched it 8 months ago, as I've mentioned, and we have an upcoming, the next release of MDOP, we will have a new version of UEV, a new version of AppV, for example. And UEV is following the OS in terms of its capabilities, following the apps, et cetera, that are coming out, so 8.18, et cetera. So the whole point is we're super motivated by UEV and AppV as a combination, because you're actually talking about applications and you're talking about the user experience. And that's really the core technology that's enabling us to do this here. And the key thing about, as I'd mentioned about UEV, it's an on-premise solution, so you can do it in your own data center. Some people aren't so keen about, you know, from an enterprise perspective, in terms of sharing settings, for example, in SkyDrive, which is fine, and that's what we do from a consumer perspective, and that all works perfect. But from the point of view of a corporation, UEV is a solution because it's actually stored locally, and it's so simple to deploy. Okay?
Excellent. And then last on there, configuration manager, again, the managing and the distribution, the way that things are pulled back in. But
yeah, and that's part of that, just to mention.
Absolutely.
We're up and running anyway, so we're nearly done. So in terms of Configuration Manager is a key strategy for the company with System Center. And the whole idea being the one pane of glass that you can manage all your applications, et cetera, and all those tools. So UEV, AppV, MBAM, when we develop those products, we make sure that we develop it in conjunction with Configuration Manager. So you can use these products through Configuration Manager, or else standalone, depending on what you want to do. But Configuration Manager is a big part of our strategy as well. Okay? Who uses Configuration Manager, by the way? Great. Okay, so I'll just give you one quick story about Configuration Manager. And I'm not dancing. It's actually done. When we were launching Windows 7 back in Ireland again, what we did as a part of an event, we picked a data center. A call center, I mean to say. And the call center had about 150 PCs. And so they let us go in that evening. With Configuration Manager, we actually moved those PCs from, I think it was XP, to Windows 7 in the space of about an hour and a half. And there's a picture, I should dig it up and put it up here. There's a picture of the guy who's doing it, and he's like this in front of, up on a platform, and you can see all the way back, you can see Windows 7 all the way back. So Configuration Manager, our tools are super, super powerful. You know, XP is end of life, 2014, so like the time is running out, guys, but we have the technology to help you. You saw what happened to my PC, and you'll see how quickly I'm back up and running. That's the message you want to land. Okay. So, anyway, here we are. Ooh, so good. So, in terms of this, I'm going to have some water now. I'm running out of. So, good. So, my account, I've logged in as Paul, but I'm actually Ronnie, but anyway, that's fine. So, the first thing I want to do is I'm going to see if my files are still there, obviously, because I'm kind of concerned. Like, are my files gone? Like, because I'm going to kill Craig if they are, right?
Uh-oh.
So if I go to my documents, well, there you go. Look, there's all my files, right? I'm saying, oh, my God, those files have come across. So,
And I think one of the great things to mention here is because, you know, we can do a lot of things with demos, and who knows what we're hiding under the curtain here, but we went through that first out-of-box experience, which is what we're showing was taking that process. It was the first time that we booted the PC on the profile. So the data came through these technologies that we're talking about here.
And it's a really good demo because you probably saw me outside sweating because of my domain account being screwed. So as a consequence, this is the real deal. So anyway, my files are all there. So the next thing I want to do is, okay, so what about some of my applications? So I'm happy my files are there, but what about my applications? So the first thing I'll do is I'll just double-click on one of these documents. Hopefully there's nothing dodgy in them. So I'm going to click on Word, right? So you'll notice that Word is starting. So Word isn't installed on the machine, right? You can see that it's actually streaming down to my machine.
So wait a second. Word wasn't installed on the machine?
No. It was when I kicked out the first time with application virtualization.
Okay.
It streamed it down to my machine. It's not actually installed. It took it the first time I clicked it, the AppV server streamed the application to my machine. Okay? And it's actually running natively, but it's not actually fully installed. Okay? And my product is deactivated. Oh, there you go. Uh,
either no thanks, to accept.
And sometimes when we have to redo a lot of
So as you can see, it's doing the whole thing.
Those.
Yeah, I forgot about the deactivation part. More demo fun. You'll forgive me. But anyway, as you can see, it's a whole new installation going on there. It's been streamed from AppV to my machine. And that's how we avoid this whole application conflict. It's actually running in a sandbox on my machine. And it's not actually not installed on the machine. So you, from a user perspective, think of your own users. They lose their machine. You don't have to do multiple installs. You can actually use AppV to stream to them. And you can actually define through policy who actually gets what and what version of that they get. So you can have the accounts department don't need Visio, for example, or maybe the engineers do, that kind of thing. So it's coming up and running there. So I don't think I want to hear that anymore. So good. Look, so I got my application word. Next thing. So I want to look more at more of my documents. I want to see where those documents are. And how did that work, actually? How did I get my documents back? How did that actually happen? So if I go to my file again, so I close this down, and I click on my documents, where is it, right? And I go to properties. Well, you can see there that they're actually on the domain controller. There's a user area that I've created for Paul or for me. And you can see that it's actually synced. There's a sign that the little green icon means it's constantly being synced. But that file, it doesn't live on my machine. It's up on the domain controller in this case, right? So my files are kept. The catastrophe happens to my laptop. I get a new laptop. I keep my files. Okay? That's the next one. So as I say, the green sync overlay means that it's actually they're available offline as well. So if I can disconnect and I'm actually working on the road or whatever, those files now are actually on my machine as well. So they're actually synced to my machine. Okay. So if I look at other files,
so that's AppV and folder redirection, right?
Yes.
So far that you have showed as part of this
exactly.
process.
Exactly. Oh, pardon me. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Thank you.
Perfect.
So if I click pictures, so you know. We don't, I suppose as IT, we don't like that folks have their pictures, they have their music on the machine. They shouldn't, but they do. And that's probably the thing that if they lose, they get the most upset about, right? So are my pictures there? Is the next question.
Can we show these pictures?
Yeah.
All right. You check
so lucky
legal.
Enough, yeah, I had actually other ones there,
okay.
but they're gone.
All
but
right.
So these are all my, well, they're not, this isn't my family. This is obviously fake data. But
this is Paul's family.
This is Paul's family indeed, yes. So Paul seems to be kind of an outgoing kind of guy. But anyhow, so we can see my pictures are there now, so I'm happy. And if I click on where that folder is as well, you can see from a properties perspective that same kind of thing. They're on the domain controller, so they're centrally stored, so I haven't lost my files.
So data, pictures, anything, right? All the data.
What's defined? If ever I've configured to be actually synced that
right.
way.
Now, additionally, right, if we don't want, just as a different thing from the demo here, if we don't want those personal pictures there, that end user could use SkyDrive and put their personal pieces on something other than the business data spot for that as well,
yeah.
right? If we have personal data, we want to roam between.
Exactly, and we can stop it if we want to stop
and
it.
And access in a similar fashion.
So as part of the demo as well, if I look at Internet Explorer, now, honestly, actually, I would have, in my pre-setup before this, which you didn't get a chance to do, you can actually configure all your settings, obviously, on Internet Explorer. So you can have your home page, you can have your look and feel of Internet Explorer. So I can set whatever I want to as my home page. But with UEV, those settings get synced. So if I have my favorites, for example, can you think of all the time you spent doing your favorites and all those technical journals that you have, or maybe social or personal or whatever, and your PC gets trashed. With UEV, for example, it'll keep all those favorites stored for you when you log on to the new machine. So my favorites are there. My home page, which is MSN, is there. Well, actually, it would have been Ireland or something, but because of the problems I've had. But anyway, look, in terms of the favorites, your personal settings, they're all retained through UEV, okay? That's my point here, okay? So I'm happy. Everything is there. And then as well as that, like, it's pretty smart as well in terms of applications. So my application settings are also synced as well. So if I have particular applications, if you have power users, for example, they're using a very complicated application and they've set it up whatever way they need to set it up, if that application is synced with UEV, then they're able to retain that application. When they go onto the new machine, that application comes up with the same settings that they had before. Because there's nothing worse than an irate, say, AutoCAD user saying, look, I've been using this for years, and I've lost all my settings because of you. So essentially, UEV is a very, very strong product, a very powerful product to use. Okay. So other things that you can set with this as well, you can set your desktop theme, your background settings, anything that's personalized on your machine, you can set with UEV. And I suppose, think about who's the person that's going to call you all the time. It mightn't be the engineer. It might be somebody who maybe isn't as technical, but, and they'll get very upset because they've lost their background or they've lost their application settings, et cetera, as well. So with UEV, you can personalize all your settings, and you can, if you have a background there, it'll pull it back onto the new machine. Okay. So the final thing I want to say is just if I go to apps. If I go to apps here now, it's all right. How do I go to apps?
Swipe
up. I'm trying to.
For all apps here.
All right, all apps. So if I go to all apps. So you can see all my apps are there installed, etc. So I've got everything already. So what I'm trying to say is in terms of the challenge I've had with a broken PC, all my apps are actually available right now. So if I actually go to, say, for PowerPoint, if I go to that document again, say, so PowerPoint is there, and I go to my docs, there are some PowerPoints if memory serves. So everything is working, basically, is the point. There's my PowerPoint. And actually, PowerPoint was streamed as well by AFI as well to that desk. So it wasn't actually installed. It was streamed when I logged in the first time, and I clicked on that. OK, cool.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Switch back.
Yeah.
So that was kind of in a nutshell showing how that process, once all this is set up, works through the first boot process, utilizing the profiles that are set up as appropriate there across these different pieces. So from here, let's start talking a little bit more in depth about some of the product-specific pieces that allow us to do this across devices. Now, this isn't a personal firsthand story, but in terms of some of these capabilities, one of the guys at work likes to tell the story of Dot. And most of us might have a Dot in our organization. She's been with the company 35 years. She used to babysit the CEO of the company. But she's technically not necessarily adept. So anytime we put something new out there, us as the IT managers are Dot's best friend. And if it's something simple, maybe it's an hour, but she comes directly to us. She ignores the 800 numbers or the online FAQs that we do. So provisioning Dot with a new system, she could be your best friend for a week trying to understand and get things set up. So preferences specifically, if we look into this, these things help Dot simply be Dot and not have to worry about all of the other things to get Dot ready to go for a given day. And it alleviates some of the things that we need to do to provision as well. Now, quite a bit of this we have highlighted already, but let's kind of look in through it as well. Now, from an overall perspective, UEV, or User Experience Virtualization, part of the MDOP suite, is focused on our settings, our preferences moving between our devices at this point. And it's pretty simple from that perspective, from a solution perspective, to roam the experience. We set up our settings store, which is where we're going to have a lot of this information. That settings store, the PCs, what's implemented, the client is going to reach out, search the settings store for settings. It's going to pull those at lock or unlock is one of the key places where, or close or open of applications, where it's going to look for these things, the changes that we have made on a PC. So if I'm logged on one PC and I change a setting, say an Adobe setting, and I close that, and then I log on to my other machine and open it up, those are some of the things that are kicking off that process of capturing the changes that I'm making in the settings store and putting those across my multiple devices. Now, again, it can be set up with a simple file share. So that's the first step in this process. Simple file share to set up the settings store location here. And then start synchronizing. And I kind of mentioned that already, talking about the settings synchronizing between the different devices. And again, closing apps, opening apps, some login, some logout for Windows OS settings, those types of pieces as well, are going to be what the triggers are of this. Now, there are a lot of technologies out there, or other technologies out there, that will sync things. But UEV was really put in place to go a little bit deeper across the Windows OS settings and to allow us to create this across other applications as well, Microsoft applications as well as non-Microsoft applications. Another nice thing is there's multiple things that we can push this across as well. Obviously, when we were talking about the replaceable PC, it could be our laptop, it could be our desktop, it could be our tablet, but it could be also be a VDI image that we can do similar things for from this perspective as well. So kind of opening up the boundaries here to work across not just devices, but technologies where we're going to use Windows as well and roam those across. So we stepped through this a little bit. First step, as we mentioned, kind of in that simple deployment process, and we have some demoing piece here as well, is to set up that simple file share for those settings. Deploy the agent, the UEV agent for the machine, which could be part of that provisioning process. Pretty straightforward to do that, so it's on each image. We had it on Ronnie's image and ready to go so that when he logged in to this new replaceable PC, it was there and ready to go. And then some group policy, some targeting to get this ready for users and up and running. The last thing there, the template catalog. A lot of the Windows OS settings roam as part of UEV. As I mentioned, we can provision this beyond simply Windows OS into other applications that are non-Microsoft as well. You can use the UEV generator or some templates that are already created and create the ability across a bunch of applications to do this utilizing that UEV generator tool. And that end result is a custom template for the application and the pieces that you are going to configure for that. And again, in that simple file share as roaming across there. So we will switch now, and we'll let you do a little bit of demoing on that user experience. Are we on six again here?
We're on one.
One.
Sorry, I was doing that there now.
Too many machines to roam between here.
Perfect, yeah. So as Craig was mentioning, and I want to say it again, it's the simple thing that you need to do is you need to create a simple share, and you need to deploy the agent. That's all you do. So if you have MDOP, you can do this really easy. So I'm going to show you. I can't see my. I'm over here now.
Yep.
Oh, it's all right.
We're moving it all over on you.
That's fine.
We like to keep Ronnie on his toes.
Holy crap, yeah. So there we go. So look, in terms of the first thing I'm going to do is I want to show you the user groups associated with this. So we have a user group here called, I'm looking at the Active Directory users and computers. And as you can see, we have a UEV users group, security group. And we've also got an AppV, and we've got AppV users, et cetera. And this is where we actually define who can get what, essentially, right? So if you look at the UEV users group, I open that, and I look at members, you can see that all domain users are members of the UEV users groups. So everybody can use UEV. Okay, that's the first thing. So it's opened up. But you can actually be selective on who is and who isn't if you don't want to, if you don't want everybody to be open to using it. But UEV is open to everybody there. We define the security for that. Okay, if I then look at these files, I've been talking for the last few minutes about how simple it is to set up. So I'm going to go to and show you actually the settings store that we've set up for myself or Paul as I am in this scenario, and it'll go through the settings there. So let me just go to that now, if I can see what I'm doing. So here on the drive, I've just created a simple share, and it's user folders here. And you can see Paul is on this share. If I go to the settings store itself and I look at the properties on the settings store, sharing advanced, permissions. So you can see that the UEV users are there as well as administrator. If I click on this, go back. So that's the sharing properties. But if I look at the security permissions then on that as well, and I go to advanced, it's a bit more interesting actually. So here, what you can see here is the way we set it up, the users, the domain users themselves can actually, so the UEV users themselves, they can create folders on that share.
That's the point. So they can, for each of, for Paul and whoever else on the account, they have their own specific folder. But they're the only ones that can actually write to the folder themselves. So the UEV users can write, create folders across the board on that share, but the actual originator, the person who owns the file, is the only person that can write to it. And what actually what we have in that file, that's where your settings are stored, basically. So it's extremely simple to set up, is the message you want to land here, right? If I look into it, have to go here now, sorry. So if I actually go to the file itself, and I look into what's in actually in Paul's file, that's the wrong one, sorry, I should be setting store. I need to show hidden files. Okay.
Okay. Did that get wiped this morning?
It might have. And it's my VM. It's, that could be a problem. Hold on, let me see.
Get reset.
Mm. But essentially, what you'll find in this folder, you'll find all your templates for your files. So it generates a template like for IE. You'll see one for IE. You'll see one for PowerPoint, for Word, etc. And in that file, it has all your settings defined. So it's just a simple file that it creates. As I say, I had some demo problems this morning with my user.
And just to add on again, that's defined per user.
Per user,
just to reemphasize, that is Paul's folder for his settings on those applications.
Yes. Okay. Then the other point is, so each one, as I say, unfortunately I can't show them because of the problem we had earlier, but there's templates for each file. So when I actually logged in for the first time, it would query those templates and actually set my settings for IE, set my settings for Word, etc. Okay? Now the other point I want to make is, in terms of the actual deployment of the actual agent itself, if I just show you where it's stored, it's under the source UAV. Right now. Sorry, I'm on the wrong PC.
We challenged Ronnie. We found out that this server on this display would only extend. I'm sorry. It would only extend, not duplicate. So poor Ronnie's looking across four devices here to hit these.
Yeah, this is really fun. So this is the actual installer that we're going to distribute to the different PCs, right? So you can either do it to the image itself so that every PC, when you actually image it and deploy it, it will have the agent by default. Or you can use your normal processes with CM or whatever you're going to use to distribute this agent on the machines. So they're the two things you need to do. It's really, really simple. And you don't have to use SkyDrive then. You can actually define across your whole corporation who can share, what they can do in settings, what files. And you can actually go down to the level of, in terms of how you sync, how you, the various features that are in there, you can sync. The timeout between the syncs, etc., are all configurable. So you have full control. My whole point is this. You have full control over what settings are synced for the users, what applications are involved, and how that actually syncing happens. In the new feature, in the next release of this product, we're actually increasing it in that we're giving even more control over that, even to the users themselves. So they can, if you allow it, they can selectively say which settings they want to sync as well. So we have new features coming down the track to make this even more configurable. And as I'd mentioned, it's also integrated with CM as well, so you can configure it through that. Okay?
Excellent.
Great.
Ready?
Yeah.
All right. So we'll flip back here. So we get a couple more slides here. Let's think of folder redirection. And one of the great things about that is being able to have data across these, but it's also nice from a backup perspective. There is a customer that we were working with about a little over a year and a half ago. And I asked the question, I said, well, what are you guys doing for backup data or to make sure that users have data if they're on a different device or something happens? And they held up very similar to Windows Go, they held up a data drive. And they said, we want people to back these up. And any guesses about the number? They had 300 users about this. Any guess of the number of people who had backed up those drives? Any numbers out of 300 who we thought had done it? 15, 10. It was actually two. Two of the 300 had backed their data up. And we found out that it was 6 months ago from this point that they'd done it. So it was two people out of 300, and it was 6 months prior. So backup was not happening, and it just wasn't what they wanted to do. So we kind of started talking through some of these other technologies, like folder redirection, which allows files to be saved, data to be saved and backed up on a more regular basis, or synced through the process on a regular basis when we're online, but still be available offline as well. And it saves, obviously, heartache, but it saves having an end user to take explicit steps to get something done to back up what they're doing. It removes that process. Remember, Dot certainly wouldn't want to back up to a hard drive at this point. She would want us to help her with that explicitly. So the idea here is to provide users with their documents across devices. So we can specify which folders, right, we would want to have redirected from this capability as well. And we'll talk about that a little bit in the simple deployment steps at this point. But we move those from users to a file share where that data is going to be available and accessible for that end user in the case of a replaceable PC or in the case of moving to another device as well. Pretty good technology. Stuff like this works really well as well if we think of Windows to Go, where the Windows to Go drive we've provided might only be 32 gigabytes, so we're constricted by the amount of data we can save. If we have that data being saved offline or in a share or a cloud service like this, it's available to us consistently, but it is going to save some data from being stored on the drive. And again, similar to some of the pieces like UEV, this kind of goes across boundaries as well. So we could have our PC, our tablet, or move into a more virtualized environment for some of this access as well. And, of course, some of this also works when disconnected. So some things, if I'm saving all my data to SkyDrive Pro, it would require, in some instances, or SkyDrive, that I'm connected if I haven't synced data to my PC. So the offline files capability here will also sync and cache some of that data if I'm offline for some amount of time and I can't get to my files. When I get back online, it will sync those for me to make sure that I've got my data in the right location and it's ready to go. As well as, that's what I just mentioned, was to synchronize the capabilities there. Similar to UEV, fairly simple configuration process as we step through this for it to work. There's kind of both a basic and an advanced type. Basic, we would set folder redirection up, and it would be basically the same set of folders, the same capabilities for everybody. With some advanced steps, we can do more targeting of file folders and capabilities through there as well. Basic would be the simplest and the easiest to set up, but again, we go through this process of creating the file share, targeting capabilities through group policy, similar to some of the other capabilities we'll talk about here. And then we're kind of up and ready to go at this point. So okay, we will switch here and then switch back to some of the demo. Do we have this one working on our thing here? We're hoping.
Yeah.
So we're going to switch you back and then
flip
you back to this machine as well and see some of this in action.
Right. So in terms of where I am now, sorry, no. It's Active Directory. Oh yeah, sure. Go ahead. Say it again.
Okay. Gigabytes of data. Wow. So
when the computer boots up, the
general question, and then you can, if you had a question for that, was regarding the performance. They have some users with offline files and folder redirection that are seeking 80 gigabytes of data at this point. So it's a question just on performance. And
so you can selectively block all that. So if you don't want them to sync music, you don't want them to sync, you can actually define.
This is the corporate data, though, right? This is specific data.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think with that amount of data, you're going to see some performance pieces there, which are. Yeah, that's a lot of data to be syncing back and forth there. On the folder redirection piece, no. Have you looked at any of other SkyDrive Pro, utilize any SharePoint capabilities? Anything else like that might be something to take a look at as well.
So the store essentially is against having it, yeah. Yeah. That would be, I think, the best way to go. Okay. So quickly, I show you the... So we talked about settings earlier, and now let's talk about the data in terms of folder redirection. So if I go to the user folders here, you'll see that Paul is already there. That's my account. And if I look at properties on that file, it's a similar story as before in terms of the permissions on that file. Can I see the permissions on the file? This could be some of my demo glitches coming up here now. But essentially, you can define the same security and sharing capabilities on each of the files as we did with the settings folder earlier. So for example, you can see here that the creator as owner is the owner of the file and et cetera as well, but the actual Paul himself is the only person that can write to it. So the users, everybody can actually create the folder on that share, but he is the only one that can write to it. Okay? Similar to what we did with the UEV earlier on the settings. Now, if I talk about in terms of how the policy that we apply, in terms of how we create it, we need to deploy it, right? So how do we actually deploy this setup? So if I look at group policy here, you can see that... directory, users and computers. This one. So this is the group policy that I've applied to the folder redirection. If I click on it, edit. So in this case, you can see that the different users have the rights, the permissions that we've applied. And that's how we actually define the user. So in terms of, Windows settings. I'm going to lost it a little bit. Pick documents. One second. Sorry, folks. If I go to user configuration policies. Windows settings. One second. Windows settings. And then I go to... Okay, actually, would you go on, and I'll actually come back to this.
Yeah, we can come back to that one and hit that one. So moving on to kind of one of the last pieces here that we'll go a little bit more in-depth about, talking about the application virtualization. We've talked about a lot of these kind of as we've stepped through here, but the idea here is to centrally package apps and then stream them down, similar to, like we said, give permissions for these. So in the idea of the replaceable PC, when I get a new PC, I have the rights to use these. They're not locally installed. It's not an MSI package, but it will be streamed down for use. So one of the things that Paul showed in that early on demo was Word and PowerPoint weren't there already, but when he opened the documents, it reached out and we had the rights to do that, and it streamed and started kind of the idea of click to run capabilities of starting to get that application down and ready to go from that perspective to really get those up and rolling. So that idea is that those apps follow those users that have the rights to those on the different devices that they roam through. A simple way to do this. It simplifies deployment capabilities. It keeps us from having some app compatibility issues. And in that respect, if we think some earlier versions of Office could not run side by side. So our locally installed version of Office could be one version, and then if we needed a later version for other reasons, App V was a nice way to overcome some of that app-to-app compatibility issues, as well as then as we've kind of rolled through App V, this nice streaming capability of getting there as well. So a lot of different reasons why we might look at App V, not just in a replaceable PC, but for some compatibility reasons as well as we go through here. Additionally, in that streaming sense, it can be cached locally, the app can, to be used if we're not connected as we go forward as well. So some nice capabilities there. App E5O, and again, there are some great sessions which are going to go into intricate little details and separate these out in the 75-minute sessions across quite a few of these details here. App E5O was the latest release, which came out in MDOP 2012, I believe, of this past year, with UEV at the same time. This was the latest update from 4.6 to 5.0 on the App V side. And there were some great capabilities, things that people had been asking for through this process as we go through here. The top one there, that idea of virtual application extension. So virtualized apps sometimes don't work well with the rest of things that we have on a machine. So integrating or opening up a media center or clicking through and accessing something between email and the app that's open or from email to the virtualized app. So this idea of the virtualized or the virtual application extension is allowing some of these virtual apps to work and to act and to let us feel like they're locally installed because they're connecting and reaching out between capabilities that are on the machine itself. So one of the great new functionalities that came out there as we went through here. If we look through the virtual application connection, really opening up broader breadth of capabilities and apps that can be virtualized to be used in the functionality here, and then of course support for Office 2013, which was a big one, as that kind of rolled out at about the same time as App V 5.0 did. And then the last one is some of the management capabilities. We talk about these being integrated in with CM and having great functionality there. And that's one of the things that the MDOP engineering team does a fantastic job is making sure that these integrate nicely into CM and System Center, as we know that a lot of our enterprise customers using MDOP also have that capability. There are some other pieces here as well, a web-based management interface for App V and the App V server capabilities. And then at the same time that MDOP 2012 came out, there was a huge push, a common criteria push at Microsoft to have interfaces and the management capabilities inherent in products themselves to be enabled through PowerShell and exposed through PowerShell. They did some of that automation in App V5.0, Dart, if you're familiar with Dart, Dart 8 that came out last time. Also, a lot of the interfaces and the capabilities for creating Dart drives are all built on PowerShell and exposable through PowerShell as well. And that was a huge push from a Microsoft perspective to get our products all kind of on the same page from a management perspective and in manageability there. So with that, we're going to switch back here and
Great, and
get a little App V demo.
So while I'm doing this, anybody using 5.0 actually for App V? 5.0? So what's your impression of 5.0 so far? Okay. So one of the things that we actually brought in 5.0, there's no need for the queue drive. Okay, so that was a situation where people in 4.6, it caused some pain that they had to create this queue drive. With 5.0, you don't. So that was a kind of a big win. Is anybody upset with queue drive and happy that queue drive has gone away? Good. Thumbs up. Good stuff. Okay, let me just, I guess I can't see what I'm doing. I need to go to the App V. Okay, so one of the other things that we actually brought in as well as part of this was we brought in a new web-based console for App V. Anybody using the web-based console yet? Okay, so it's a web-based console. One or two are using it there as well. So if I just go and find that now.
See, we're a little ahead of the curve as we just came out in, April?
Yes.
With some of this functionality.
So if I want to find the web-based application virtualization. Full screen.
There we go.
So this is the new web-based console that we brought out with 5.0. The Service Pack 1 was brought out in April. So you have before we brought it out last year, basically the first launch of 5.0 with a Service Pack 1 in April. We have a new version coming down the tracks quite soon, and we have some new cool features in there as well. So there's constant development in this. And also, we've constant development in terms of integration with CM, as I'd mentioned at the very start. So Configuration Manager, we're lockstep with App V and with UEV. Okay? So just to take you through it, I'll kind of stretch over here. So you have your overview, which talks about what's in app, what's in the web-based console, etc. Then you have your a list of all your packages that you've created. So these are the packages that you're going to allow your users to use. But another key feature within this, and you can publish to the users, etc. But another key feature of this is connection groups. So what we've done in 5.0, we've allowed you to package your to group your packages, in other words. So if you have, say, a Word application that has a particular add-in, you can actually create that straight away and distribute that to your users and have multiple versions of Word, perhaps, with different add-ins associated with your different users. So this is a really powerful feature. Before this, it was the case that if you wanted to change anything, you had to take the whole thing apart. With connection groups and with that allows you to distribute these maybe more complicated packages to your users. Okay, so I'm just going to take you through some of this now as well. And then we've also got, if I go through here, I'm using the wrong one now. You have your application server, which is the server we use to distribute, and you have some extra tools as well. So this is constantly evolving. But the key feature in here is around the connection groups and the packages. Okay? So let's see how we can actually distribute a package. So I'm going to click on. So I'm going to go to this here now. I go to a file. And actually, I want to show you a package first. Pardon me. I want to show you an app fee file. So if I go here, you can see that we have Notepad. And the new file that we brought in 5.0 is this app v file, as you can see. And that contains the whole configuration for Notepad. And that's what you actually create and you distribute, right? So I want to actually add and upgrade a package here. Yeah, okay. So if I go to connection groups, just show you what we need to do. So I have, if I add a connection group, and I create a new connection group, and I'm going to rename it, for example. I'll give it a name, so it makes sense. So say we call it Word and two. Okay? I didn't spell it right, but sure, you'll let me go. So then if I want to add, this is what I'm going to distribute, right? But what's in it, right? So if I actually go and I say I want to add packages to this, and I click Add Package Access as well, but I'll explain that in a second, I can pick these existing packages for Office, and I can create a connection group with it. So that's Office being added in there. And then there's this product called Semlio, which is an academic add-on, and I can create that as well. So when I apply this, and I close, you'll see straight away that Office and Semlio had corporate domain access to it. So the computers that had access to Semlio and Office have inherited the same access. So the domain computers now have the rights to use this new package that I'm creating. Okay?
I think the great thing about that is how straightforward that is. You're just clicking.
Yeah, clicking,
you're
exactly.
Clicking and pushing and connecting those things together.
Exactly.
So if I want to... Sorry, no. What was the next thing I was supposed to do?
So then if I go back to that package, I can actually publish this, and it's available for our users. So if I go and I publish, that's how simple it is. It's two or three clicks, and I publish that application. I've got two applications, two packages. I've connected them as a group, and I've published them. So all the domain users' computers will be able to access that application now, or that package, okay? And then the other point as well, in terms of the agent, similar to what we said with UEV, it's a case of either injecting it into the image or using our normal tools to deploy the agents for app fee. Okay?
Excellent. So we have just a couple things to highlight here. We don't have a demo on the configuration manager. One thing we like to highlight here, not necessarily just replaceable PC related, if you're using System Center, they have this great idea of the unified device management, the single pane of glass with Intune now that allows to manage across a whole variety of devices. Windows platforms, obviously XP through where we're at now, iOS, Android, macOS. There's some capabilities now there in Intune, just as kind of a highlight there, to allow unified management across all of these devices if they're Windows or not Windows related as well. That other idea that they have is this idea of user-centric identity, which allows some of these great capabilities to happen. So myself as a user, all of these are my devices. ConfigMan is looking at me and the device I'm coming in at and making the decision on the best way to deploy the technology that's required. If it's a desktop, MSI could be the best way to push that down. I'm not roaming. I'm going to be pretty static. If I'm on some of these two in the center and I'm going to be roaming around, App B could be the best way to publish applications to me, and it'll make the decision for me. And then finally on the right here, if we look at the other kind of more, maybe not necessarily a Windows OS device, RDS might be the best way to publish or to allow apps or capabilities for me to access what I need to access on an ongoing basis. And then all of these pieces in terms of the configuration, the pieces of pushing the agents down, again, are integrated into the ConfigMan console. And it's kind of a nice unifying capability to really start to pull all this together. Now, as we get kind of to the end here, for those who are in the previous session, the Windows to Go piece is going to just show a little bit of this, and then we're going to wrap. All of the stuff we talked about works on Windows to Go, which is a nice story there. But Windows to Go, in place of typically booting from our normal PC, we utilize a flash drive, a certified drive, and we boot from that. So this is kind of the picture up here. I can do that while I'm at work for BYOD, or I can do that while I'm on the go if I have rights to use this for any machine. So I'll switch over. We'll show a really quick demo of that for some of the people that that weren't here, and that's PC7. And flip that over. So I'm going to start pretty simply with this device that I'm using on the end. I have my internal drive up here. Shows it's about 148 gigabytes. When I plug in my Windows to Go drive, this one right here that I have my image loaded on, typically when I plug in a USB drive, what will happen is that my PC will look to mount that. I'll get a little thing that pops up at the bottom of the screen and says, what do you want to do with this USB drive? And then under my local disk C there, it would mount it as the next letter there, typically letter D if I'm on C type of a thing. You'll notice we have that turned off by default with Windows to Go. So when I plug it in, I can't access the data that's on that drive. Now as I boot into this, we're going to see kind of the same thing here. So I'm going to shut down my PC, simply power it down, and then once it goes through this process and I boot back in, it'll be ready to go. My drive is BitLocker protected. A lot of companies kind of say, well, it's not if I lose one of these Windows to Go drives, but it's when. And if we're BitLocker protected, it's encrypted and it won't be able to be accessed by anybody else who would find this drive and think they're going to plug it in and utilize it. Right now, it's booting up. The first time I boot on a machine, it's going to go through specialization and it'll be ready to go. It'll search for drivers. It'll search for anything that's required. And if it needs something from Windows Update, it will reach out and it will pull that back in. Right now, it's asking me for my BitLocker password, and it's going to pull this up, and then it'll boot through the process. I'll come back to my start screen, my lock screen, and be ready to go. The last thing I'll show really quickly is the fidelity of the experience. So as an end user, I won't know, right, if I didn't tell someone that I'm showing this video on my Windows to Go drive, they wouldn't know it's coming from there. They would think it's coming from the internal drive on the PC itself. So we're coming up to logging in. Start screen should be coming up. Put my password in. And then we'll flip to the desktop. Again, really quick. Now my internal hard drive is offline. The only hard drive that I can see here, and it's pretty full, this is a 32 gigabyte drive, I've got a lot of stuff on that, is the Windows to Go drive. So the internal is offline by default. Just want to show the video here. This is a Kinect video that's loaded on my drive. It's utilizing the hardware here, simply from that perspective, to pull it up and to use it. So you can see as we go through here, it's a pretty good experience. The people aren't jittery, the screen's not jittery, and I'm using one of the certified drives. But right now I'm plugged into a 2.0 port, so I'm not even plugged into a USB 3.0 port to get this great experience. Now, if something happens, a kid comes by, or I'm at the airport, my dog bumps this out of my machine, You see it kind of freezes here, and I have 60 seconds to go ahead and get that back into the very same machine there. And if I do, it gives me this nice message. It says, look, you know, Craig, don't do that. And then it picks right back up from where it goes. The reason we kind of want to talk about this with the replaceable PC is because if we hammer Ronnie's PC and we break it, we could give someone a Windows to go drive, and we could use the same technologies to get them up and running. We wouldn't have to wait for a PC or to have PC hardware sitting in inventory ready to go for this. We could have this, and they could boot up through the whole process. So pretty good. Anybody interested in Windows to go? Think it'd be a cool technology to utilize? So I did this in the previous one. I'm just going to walk around real quick, and maybe you want to switch back. I'm going to toss a few of these out again. I'm going to start on this side because earlier I started on the other side here from this perspective, so we'll just go around. We will wrap up and do some Q&A here as we go through the process here. So if you guys still do have some questions, feel free to get them to ask. One thing I'd like to highlight really quickly is that we will also like you to fill out evaluations as possible here. And I'm down to, I think, just one more here, so we'll toss it kind of back up front there from that perspective. These have Windows 8 loaded on them. It's the evaluation edition. So if you have a bootable PC, you can go ahead and boot into that and give Windows 8 a try if you haven't so far.
So just as I'd mentioned at the start, we have breakout sessions that go into more detail, level 300, level 400. We have UEV that I talked a lot about. That's the time where it's at today on Thursday. We have a product we didn't talk about at all, which was Dart, which is a product that's been around a long time, and it's a whole suite of tools that help you recover your MD's PC, basically. So there's a session on that. It was very popular in North America. It's very popular now. If you have MDOP, you own Dart, is the other point. Then we also have a session called Everything You Want to Know About Windows But Are Afraid to Ask, which is another session that we should go to. And then we have Application Virtualization Solutions, which talks more in detail about AppV. So we're also going to be at the booth. So I'd recommend you, if you have any questions as well, you can talk to us directly at the booth. Apologies for some of the fun with the demo. As I said, we had a challenge at the start, right? In terms of the profile or the account being knocked off the domain. But we got it there in the end.
We have a couple minutes for questions if you haven't. But I also wanted to highlight, there's a Windows keynote if you haven't seen that, which is Thursday morning at 8:30. So it's a 75-minute keynote. We don't typically do keynotes on day three. The server was on day one. But that will be the Windows keynote, which will cover all the new stuff in Windows 8.1 and the features that are coming out Thursday morning at 8:30 in the keynote hall. So we have a couple minutes for questions. If there are some questions here, we can walk around to here. So I think I saw the hand right up here come up first. Oh, and
hi. With all the information you provided here, I don't lose the feeling that between the lines you say, get rid of roaming profiles.
Say that again about...
To get rid of roaming profiles.
I don't lose the feeling that you say between the lines, get rid of the roaming profiles.
Well, we talk about, you have a whole suite of technologies. You can use SkyDrive Pro, for example, instead. Roaming profiles have been around a long time. You can still use them. They're still good. But they have some issues, as we talked about earlier, in terms of large files. But you've got...
So, and you can still use roaming profiles. So roaming user profiles, which is a question RUP here. At this point, we're not saying get rid of it. I think what we're thinking about here is in terms of some of the ease and the deployment models and some of the other pieces that have come forward and have been updated in the later years, bring some great new things which are simple to deploy and work pretty well. So I don't think we're saying kill that if you are using that at this point and you have that deployed at this point. Does that make sense? Okay, maybe.
Maybe we can talk after.
Feel free to come up after.
Anybody else? There's one more just down here, then yourself.
Yeah. Will the new version of UEV support click once applications?
Will the new version support click once?
Is Aaron in here still?
I don't know if he's still here or not.
Yeah.
Actually,
Aaron, did you hear the question?
Will the new version of UEV?
I don't know if you can answer that.
Yeah. So Aaron is one of our engineers on the team.
So click once, are you referring to the office or which ClickOnce application are you
this
referring
man
to?
Here.
Oh, there you go. Hi. Sure, certainly. So the question was, will UEV support our ClickOnce line of business applications that we create in-house, right? And that's like using AppV or some virtualized technology. It should support it as long as as long as you can point your user drive to the correct setting storage path. That should work. Oh. Why don't we go ahead and talk offline about your specific scenario?
Okay. I think we're pretty much out of time. Do you have a quick question?
Yeah, a second one.
Okay, quick one.
Can be UEV considered a replacement for UCT backup?
And so if you have additional questions, you're welcome to come up. They kind of cut us off. We're happy to answer a couple questions if we don't get them answered in the session here.
It can actually store the settings. So if a person from backing up the settings, for sure, you can use that as a way around. So
also flexible.
Yes. Yeah. So the question was, can we use UEV as a kind of a form of backup? Certainly.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you
everybody
for who hung around. And like I said, if we have questions, feel free to stop up here at the booth, and we can help answer them for you.
Okay.